Acts chapter 2. Beginning at verse 25. Acts 2, beginning at verse 25. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will You let Your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in Your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was also a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that He would place one of his descendants on His throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that He was not abandoned to the grave, nor did His body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life. We are all witnesses of this fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, yet he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Today I want to talk about the ascension. The disciples never stopped at the resurrection. The resurrection, we often stop as though the resurrection is the goal, as though the resurrection alone is the pinnacle. But the resurrection is merely a step on the way. The resurrection is not the end. Where Jesus raised to life again, like others had been raised to life again, like Lazarus was raised to life again, only to die again, then there would be no hope. The resurrection is not enough without the fact that Jesus rose to the Father. That's the theme that Peter preaches. Look with me at verse 33. Notice, he doesn't stop at the resurrection. Verse 32, he says, God raised Jesus to life. We are all witnesses of this fact. But he immediately goes on, exalted to the right hand of God. It's not just that Jesus rose from the dead and the cycle began again and he was opposed. No, he rose from the dead, but now he has been exalted to the highest place. This is a constant theme. Look with me at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Peter and the other apostles replied, We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things. So is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. It is not just that Jesus came back from the grave. It's not just that there is an empty grave. It is that Jesus is exalted to the highest place. The Apostle Paul states this in Philippians. He writes Philippians to a struggling church, a church that's dealing with persecution, problems, and he writes to them, that they are to rejoice. And how is it that a person could rejoice in the midst of persecution when you're losing your house, when your job is being taken away? I think of just this week, we had our staff meeting and with the whole situation in the state of New Jersey. There's a real question about what the future of everything is. And people were, how is it that a person can rejoice when there is unrest, when there is difficulty, when there's persecution, when there's rejection? Here's how it is. Look at Philippians 2:9. Philippians 2:9. Therefore, God exalted Him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. What a name He's been given. You see, it's not just that Jesus rose from the dead and came back and walked on the earth again and went through it again and died again and over the same cycle. It is He died once, He rose once, and now He is forevermore exalted at the right hand of God. It is that name that Jesus had that's above every name, that every, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth. And boy, how the demons must hate. How the lost, unregenerate, godless, wicked dead must tremble at these words and under the earth. That person who has spent their entire life in rejection of Christ, they cannot go off to the terrors of hell without first bowing the knee to Jesus. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He has been exalted to the highest place. You see, that was the testimony of the early Christians. It's not just we believe this is true. They said we saw it. Look with me at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse 9, and after He said this, He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid Him from sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as He was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen Him go. He is exalted to the highest place. Let me ask you, what place does He have in your life? Why is it that the early Christians had such power? It is because they saw Jesus as exalted. Not just Jesus crucified. That's the problem with the crucifix. He is not on the cross. Not just raised from the dead. For the empty tomb alone, a tomb alone is not enough, but exalted above. Look with me at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Acts Acts chapter 7 recounts the wonderful message that Stephen gives at his vigilante trial where they are about to martyr him, the first named person killed for the cause of Christ. And it says in Acts 7, verse 54, when they heard this, when you're standing for your life in front of an angry mob, what gives a person the kind of boldness? It so sickens me when I hear people say things like, oh, it's hard to get up on Sunday morning. How could it be possible for us believe in the Christ who is the risen Lord of glory, who has ascended to the highest place, and say that's hard when you look at a man like Stephen who looks into the eyes of a violence-filled mob and doesn't back down an inch. He doesn't say, now brothers, can't we all get along? Can't we all just go along? He says, verse 51, you stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now, you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but have not obeyed it. And when they heard this, they said, oh, preach it, brother. They were furious. They gnashed their teeth at him. You ever seen a person so angry they gnash teeth? But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. There he was, exalted to the highest place. You see, our problem is we don't see Jesus exalted to the highest place, and so therefore we treat him differently than Stephen treated him. We don't see Jesus exalted. Oh yeah, we believe he died. We believe he rose from the dead. But we do not believe that he's exalted to the highest place, or we would not treat him as we do. Why is Jesus there? Well, Peter answered that question too. Look with me back at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 34. Acts 2:34. For David did not ascend to heaven. And yet, he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. How long? How long will Jesus sit at the right hand of the Majesty on high? How long will Jesus be exalted to the highest place until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Do you know that Psalm 110:1 is the most quoted and alluded to verse in the entire New Testament? The most quoted or alluded to verse in the entire New Testament. Jesus shall reign until he is undisputed. Paul picks up on this in the great resurrection chapter. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians 15, verse 24. Then the end will come when He hands the kingdom to God the Father. Why hasn't the end come? Do you get as angry at the injustice in this world as I do? Sometimes I just get livid when I see some of the things that go on. Why isn't it that the end has come? Well, there's a reason. Then the end will come when He hands over the kingdom to God the Father after He has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. Why hasn't the end come? If the end had come 30 years ago, would you have been one of those enemies? 25 years ago, would you have been one of those enemies? 20 years ago, would you have been one of those enemies? How little time ago would it have been? A year ago, 2 years ago? That you would have been one of those enemies that Jesus ground under His feet. We often think how wondrous it will be when the kingdom is delivered, but there will come a day of reckoning before the kingdom is delivered. When the enemies must be crushed under His feet. How many friends do you have today who would be crushed? How about family members? Children? Siblings? Parents? Who would be crushed under His feet when He comes? Jesus is reigning. Do you see why Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, Second Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow, 2 Peter 3:9, in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Why are you taking so long, Jesus? He is patient with you. How patient has God been with you? He is patient with you. We've just seen a lesson in patience. I love the story of the pastor who was asking for prayer requests, and a young fellow about that age had been being bad the whole time, and finally the father had enough and grabbed the kid over his shoulder and threw him over his shoulder and started out to the back of the room. The kid, who's facing backwards, calls from the... Pray for me! The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise. Why doesn't Jesus just come back? What would have happened had Jesus come back 5 years ago? 10 years ago? There are some here who wouldn't have been ready. There are many who are not ready today. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you. You know, here's the problem. We take God's patience as acquiescence. Oh, God must be allowing me to get away with it because, you know, God's not doing anything about it, so I guess He doesn't care. No, it's not acquiescence. It's only patience. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Paul, just a little rabbit trail, and then we'll get back to Paul. That's why Paul, writing in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, Romans 2, 4 says this, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience?" Do you show contempt? Do you show contempt? "Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance?" The very fact that God is waiting, the very fact that God has delayed, has given us time to repent, if you have. And if you have not, His patience is giving you that time this very minute. Don't take it for granted. Paul, in 1 Corinthians, goes on, 1 Corinthians 15:24, "Then the end will come when He hands the kingdom to God the Father after He has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, for He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for He has put everything under His feet." Jesus has already won. There's not going to be a battle. There's not going to be a war. There's only going to be a day of reckoning. The victory's already won. It's sort of like that moment when all the indictments have been written out, all the evidence is collected, all the criminals have been named, the conspiracy has been uncovered, and all that waits is for them to swoop in and round up the culprits. Everything's under His feet. He is exalted to the highest place. Everything is under His feet. You see, that's why Peter could say, Acts 2:36, "Therefore let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." He is Lord, not He will be Lord. He has been, past tense, exalted to the highest place. He already reigns on high. He is the undisputed victor. He is already Lord and Christ. He is Lord, the one to whom we must give an account. He is Christ, the anointed King. It's already true today. You see, that's what empowered the early church. Not just a raised Jesus who came back to go through the motions again and again, but Jesus who was raised and exalted to the highest place, and He's reigning until the day He comes to establish His throne forever. The psalmist put it this way. With this, we're going to close Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire? Do the nations still conspire today? You bet they do. And the peoples plot in vain. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord. And against His anointed one. Jesus, the one who has been anointed to the highest place. They say, let us break their chains and throw off their fetters. Ten commandments? Who does God think He is? Who does God think He is to tell me what I'll do? What I'll do with my time? Remember the Sabbath day. What I'll do with my mouth? You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. What I'll do with my sexuality? You will not commit adultery. Who does God think He is to tell me what to do? It's a new morality. It's a new day. Throw off those old morality. The one enthroned in the heavens trembles at their words. He says, there's nothing I can do about it. Far from it. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. You know that this, and there are several other times, is the only time that God is portrayed as laughing. The Bible portrays Jesus as weeping on numerous times, but it never says, and Jesus laughed. The only time God laughs, it is the mocking laugh of derision. It is the laugh that says, you utter idiots. The Lord, the one enthroned in heaven, laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then He rebukes them in His anger and terrifies them in His wrath, saying, if you'll please let me. No, I have instilled my king on Zion, my holy hill. I've already done it. It's a fiat complete. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance. America belongs to Jesus Christ, whether it claims it or not. Russia, someone says, I had to go to Soviet Russia to find Christ. And the person responded to them, I didn't know he was lost. I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. You see, because He is exalted to the highest place, run to kiss Him. Run to kiss Him today. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you be destroyed in your way. I was at school the other day and somebody was playing after the kids had left. The old Sinatra song, I Did It My Way. Oh, how terrible it is. Because you'll be destroyed in your way. For His wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take their refuge in Him. Let's bow together. Lord, You are exalted to the highest place, and yet there are some of us here today that are not treating You that way. We are not walking in obedience to You. We are spurning Your commands. We are rejecting Your will. We are making our own way. We are saying, I will do. We are looking at heaven and saying, I haven't been hit by lightning. Therefore, God, you must approve. I'm getting away with it. We do not understand that your mercy is giving us time to repent. But instead of repenting, we are continuing. Lord, I pray that you would bring every person in this room to the place of true repentance, where we see the glorified Christ for the Lord that he is and serve him that way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Hymn number 230.